Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
A few years ago, I have a friend who is he loves boxing. How many of you love boxing? I tried boxing for my health and fitness, and one time they introduced me to another guy. Said, you go. But the guy warned me that this guy hits hard. So I thought, this is training. I'm not trying to become a boxer. I'm just trying to do this whole thing and to be fit. But man, it's fun punching those things. And then he said, you go with this guy. So I come in, I give him a little. The guy punched me. My goodness, I said, this is not supposed to be like that. And then I had to now remember everything and try to punch him back. Anyway, boxing, in the boxing history, there's a heavyweight boxer called Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali redefined boxing. He's the kind of guy who won his boxing fights in the pre-fight interviews. He loved to talk. My goodness. Muhammad Ali. So I was watching with this friend of mine some of the highlights because he enjoys it, and it was a documentary about him. And so Muhammad Ali would predict which round he would knock you out. So he would say, I'm going to knock you out on the third round. And he did. Muhammad Ali would knock you out. And he would come into the ring, written on his gloves and on his palm. He would go around, show people, third round. And then you can imagine if you're on the other side. It was incredible. So one time, in the pre-interviews, they interviewed the guy he was going to fight. The guy said, I had a dream that I'd beaten Muhammad Ali. That's what he said. So when they were interviewing Muhammad Ali, they asked him, this guy said he had a dream he had beaten you. You know what Muhammad Ali said? He says, what? Wake him up immediately, because you can never beat Muhammad Ali even in your dreams. He was such a funny guy, but he really transformed boxing. Heavyweight boxing, and he was called the world's greatest. That's what he used to name himself. Well, I've got good news for you. His is in boxing, ours is not for boxing. When it comes to the transformation of the world, nothing can come close to the church of Jesus Christ. And so today, I want to talk to you about this spirit-empowered church that is transformational. That's who God has called us to be. That transformational church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So as we carry on the Spirit-empowered church, that's what I really want to talk to us about. And if you don't mind, I want to read a portion of scripture, and these are Jesus' words. When it comes to this subject of being a transformational church, Jesus has a lot to say. Matthew chapter 5, in fact, if you can stand to your feet, because I love, this is powerful, and I want you to picture Jesus speaking to us. The context of this scripture that I'm going to read is actually a record of Jesus' longest recorded sermon. It's quite powerful. Jesus begins to introduce kingdom attitudes. He talks about many things. He talks about prayer. He talks about generosity. He talks about forgiveness. He really shares a lot about the kingdom. And here in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13, he's speaking to this crowd that had gathered by the mountainside. He looks at them and he says to them, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way. Everybody say, in the same way. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Those are great words from Jesus. You may be seated. What was Jesus really trying to say to the disciples and to the crowds that were gathered? When you look at his illustrations, and we'll talk a little bit more, I can simply summarize it this way. Jesus was saying, hey, you are to be transformational. That's what he was saying. You are to be transformational just like salt is transformational. You are to be transformational just as light is transformational. But what does transformation mean? So that we understand, because we are talking about the spirit and power. Transformation doesn't mean improvement. Transformation doesn't mean adjusting. Because sometimes we think the church exists to improve your life. Or sometimes people think Jesus has come to just adjust our lives. Or to edit our lives. Significant change from within. It's a change in form. It's a change in nature. It's a change in character. It's a change in condition or even direction. It's a complete overhaul. So my friends, when we talk about the church being transformational, it's not about the church bringing some small improvements or adjustments. It means the church exists to substantially change whatever is going wrong. Transformation, if I'm to use another illustration, is like our morph ministry. Another word for it is morphing. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. Those two look very different. That's what transformation is about. And so when Jesus says you are the salt, you are the light, he's saying, I am looking to you as the church to completely overhaul everything that Satan tried to destroy. And this transformation we're talking about, my friends, is holistic. It's not just one area. It's holistic. It's about the transformation of the heart. It's about the transformation of mindsets. It's about culture transformation. It's about community transformation. It's about national transformation. And Jesus looks to the church to be involved in all of that. You and I. So the question that one time somebody asked me, and it's a question I also want to ask you, and then we shall go to God's word and find the solution. This is the question. Is transformation possible? Is transformation possible? Is transformation possible? The other week, I had the incredible joy of going to visit Karamoja. And I went to visit Kotido. That's the one I visited. And the church there that hosted us is part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God, Uganda. We are part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God. And it was just great to be there in a church that has a heart of Jesus and just wants to see lives changed in Karamoja. My goodness, that place is so beautiful. The mountains there, the people there, the culture. It's just so fantastic. But anyway, we went to one of those communities where the church is doing some work with other organizations that they're partnering with and teaching them biblical ways of doing agriculture and introducing the gospel to them and teaching them about the Bible and forgiveness and peace. And just being in that small community, and they all came together, and they have an organized structure. They are elders, and the elders have where they sit. It's fun. No event can happen until the elder has permitted it to take place. And so it was great to watch all of that happening. But part of what I enjoyed was when they were doing some performances, and one of the dancers showed how they used to participate in cattle rustling and all of that, and how they would go to witch doctors. And they were acting all of this to try and find direction and whether they should go and whether they would have victory. And they were acting all of that. And then they said, but when the church came and taught us about Jesus, we threw away witchcraft and now we can seek Jesus. And they were acting this out for us. So is transformation possible? My encounter with that beautiful community in Kotido, deep in the village, with the church that went there and they are beginning to change mindset, I can confidently say yes through the Spirit-empowered church. It is possible. It is possible. And when I talk about the church, it's not just the building. And then this big bunch of people, you as well. God looks at you as part of His transformation agent. There are two things that I'm just going to share with you today that can help us to be that. And the first one is to embrace the fact that in order for transformation to happen, there must be a transformation agent. Do you know who that transformation agent is? The church. It's your identity. The moment we don't embrace who God has called us to be as transformation agents here on earth, and we confuse our identity, we start to have an identity crisis, and we think like the world, yet we are here trying to be in church. The moment we mix up our identity, we lose our transformational power and place as transformation agents. So my friends, you and I must embrace the fact that God has called us to be His transformation agents. So it starts by embracing identity, who we are. And that's why Jesus, looking at them in Matthew 5, He said to them, the disciples and the crowds, He says, "You are the salt of the earth." He didn't say, you need to try to be like salt. Jesus knew that the moment we become His children, the moment we become His disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And Jesus was specific. He was using salt as an illustration. Why? Because salt will always transform whatever you put it in. In the olden days, salt was used for both flavor, but also was used as a preservative. No fridges those days. No deep freezers to keep your meat for whatever length of time. that you sought to preserve. When Jesus was saying you are the salt of the earth, he was saying, hey, the kind of influence that I see from you is like salt. Wherever you go, the test changes. It has to be good, because some of us are test changers and it's bad. Wherever you are preventing decay. You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus saw. Then Jesus says something that is interesting. He says, what good is it if salt loses its saltiness? I did study a little. And I said, is it possible for salt to lose its saltiness? And it's very interesting. The only way salt loses its saltiness is if other chemicals get into play and begin destabilizing what makes in inviting ungodly ways and ideas into our lives. This idea of mix and match, let's tolerate what the other one is saying. You begin to lose your saltiness. The moment you allow things to corrupt your beliefs and accommodate those other ideologies, you begin to lose your saltiness. I wonder how much of the world now is influencing the church. If you see some of the behaviors of some of we churches, you almost think you're in Hollywood. Pastors have become superstars. Superstars. And we have become, it's changed so much. And then Christians have followed the same thing. Another way to lose our saltiness is when we start to embrace false doctrine. I was at the university, not when I studied, but speaking to some university students. And one was really arguing with me. He says, you know, Pastor, my body cannot sin. My spirit cannot sin, but my body was created to sin, so it cannot change. And so when they were sinning, and this is what it says, when my body sins, my spirit has not sinned. And this whole hyper-grace crazy things. And that saltiness just begins to go when you start to mix it with some of those other things. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, and then he says, what good is it if salt loses its saltiness? It's better to be thrown out and trampled upon. Do you know that today sometimes the church is trampled upon? We become a laughing stock because we've lost that saltiness. When we allow our greed and fear to take over. Jesus says, you are the salt, don't forget it. But then he says, you are also the light. You're the light of the world. And that, like a city on a hill, you have to shine so everybody can see. You can't hide the light. There are some people who say, you know, when I join my workplace, I must be tactical. I'm a Christian in secret service. No. Out of a pastor who he used to greet the congregation every time the service ended. And he would remind them, say, hey, you're part of the army of the Lord. Go out and defeat the enemy. And he'd greet them. So this one young man came. So he says, hey, you're part of the army of the Lord, but I've not seen you. Where have you been? Said, Pastor, part of the secret service. No, you are the light of the world. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine. Because when that light shines, there is no place for darkness when that light shines. When that light is on, it doesn't matter how much darkness, it will be dispelled. Let your light shine before all men, so that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Spirit-empowered church embraces her identity. She knows she is salt. She's not trying to be salt. She knows she's the light. She's not trying to be light. Embrace that. Embrace that as an individual. When you show up in your community, when you show up at work, when you go to class, don't forget your identity. Don't try to fit in with the others. Be who God has called you to be. Be that lion. I saw a lion and there was a phrase written on this lion. And this was the phrase: no matter the economy of the jungle, I cannot eat grass. That is not pride. That's just who I am. Be the salt. Be the light. That's just who we are. We can't give excuses. That's what Jesus has called us to be, the salt and the light. Now, if we are the salt and the light, and that's who we are, how can this transformation be experienced by those around us? It's simply this: by how we live. How we live our lives. The greatest evidence of our being salt and light is seen in how we live. That's why Jesus spent time on the Sermon of the Mount, and he was introducing a kingdom way of living. He talked about the kind of attitudes we need to have. He talked about how we need to pray. He talked about issues of forgiveness. He talked about issues of sexuality, adultery, and marriage. He deals with them there. It's such a powerful message. And what was Jesus trying to address? He's saying, because you're the salt and you're the light, how you live is how you will have that kind of transformation. How we live. As salt, Jesus expects us to live in a way that we are preserving biblical standards. That it's not about our opinions. It's about what God's opinion is in his word. And we protect the truths of his word. I was on a group where there's arguments, and with the whole marriage bill coming, and people are trying to argue for different forms of marriages. And there's one guy who was trying to say, you know, there were polygamous people in the Bible. So if they were polygamous, then polygamy must be okay. And I realized something. That when you allow ideologies of the world to influence what you know about God, you become corrupted that you think you're defending a correct thing, but you're completely off. You have lost your saltiness and you don't even know. Yes, you look white and nice, but when you're tested, there's nothing that comes out of you. Yes, you can identify and say, I'm a Christian. But when, Paul, you've lost your influence because you've allowed some corruption. And this is what happens. Let me help you. Because sometimes as we read the Bible, we read it and start defending things to justify our evil intentions and to fit what we want. Whenever you read the Bible, keep two things in mind. One is there's things in the Bible that are descriptive. And there are things in the Bible that are prescriptive. Those that God says do. The others that are descriptive, God is helping us to take a record of what happened. The only way to know that people were evil is by the Bible recognizing there was evil happening. Whenever you take something that has been described in the Bible and you use it as a prescription, you're in trouble. So, one argument is King David had many wives. Solomon had many wives. That was the argument. Well, King David committed adultery. Should we justify adultery? Because if you take descriptions, what the Bible was doing, it was describing the weakness of man. That's why Jesus says, when they were asking him about divorce, he said, you know what? It has not always been like that. It is because of the hard-heartedness. But from the very beginning, it was one man, one woman. Very simple. And what was Jesus saying? Let your light shine properly. Live it out. Don't be like the others. What you believe will determine how you live. Be careful what you entertain in your beliefs. It will impact how you live. Salt prevents decay. So wherever we are as a church, we protect the principles of how God designed the world to work. And they are here in His Word. Light confronts evil and darkness. In other words, wherever we are, let your light shine means whenever you encounter an area of darkness, let your light shine. Whenever you see people trying to backstab each other at work, say, that's not going to help us. Whenever you're having lunch with somebody and gossip begins, you don't become a Secret Service believer. So I'm here doing some investigations. I'm just hearing. I say, guys, it's not good to talk about people behind their backs. That's how we let our light shine, confronting the darkness. Boy, there's a lot of darkness in our communities. There's a lot of darkness in our workspaces. There's a lot of darkness. I went once to pray for one believer in Parliament. You could smell witchcraft. The hunger for power and money. How is that going to be healed? By God sending believers there who will let their lights shine. Is transformation possible? Yes. By you and I embracing who God has called us to be. We are the salt and the light. We are the agents of transformation. How will that transformation be realized? It's by how we live every single day. I'll end with this story One time I was chatting with one of our friends and partners as Watoto many years ago, and this is what he said. He said, "Man, I've been to Uganda a few times, and I've tried to understand Ugandan culture." That's what he said. "I've tried to understand the people," because he was that kind of person. And then he said, "Unfortunately, I have made a conclusion that Ugandans are angels during the day, and in the night, they are something else." What he said, he was saying, we know how to put on a show, how to look the part and play the part, but we are not authentic. What good is it if salt loses its saltiness? What good is it if our lights are hidden? Today, I challenge you. Let's embrace who we are and let's live not by might, not by power, but empowered by the Spirit of God so that we can continue to be the salt and the light. And we will see transformation come to our city, our nation, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It is possible to experience transformation.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey.